If parenthood came with a GPS, it would most likely just say recalculating. Join Yolandi Becker and her guest experts Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Bump and Beyond, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And it is Wednesday, as always, at 11 o'clock, and we are talking parenting. This is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And today, specifically, I want to talk about allergies, actually, which is an interesting topic. I have spoken to it about it before as well, which is interesting for me in the end of the day. Let me start with this. Allergies are very common, actually, affecting a significant portion of the population worldwide, with estimates suggesting that between 10 to 40% of people experience allergies, making it one of the most prevalent chronic health conditions globally. So when you are especially introducing solids to your baby, I feel like if you just listen to that stats, I'm not surprised that you're going to be a little bit worried, a little bit stressed out by the fact when you're introducing new things, because it can obviously be very, very scary. And to be honest, even just from my own experience, I remember, and I mean, my kids are now 11 and 13, and I remember when I introduced solids, it was told to me that I had to wait to introduce certain things like egg, like certain allergen-prone kind of foods were I was told to avoid until a certain age, because it obviously can cause an allergic reaction. You want to wait with it. And in the meantime, studies have definitely changed on that topic. And it is now said that you should actually not wait to introduce those things. But on that note, I am not the expert in this field. And as always, I get in the experts to help me on this topic. And today joining me is founder of Maagies Vol Liefde or Tummies Full of Love, as well as her new product range, Allergy, which specifically focuses on the introduction of solids or allergy-prone, we're going to hear more about that, allergy-prone foods to children and how you can go about it. Marita Besaideno, thank you so much for joining me, Marita. Of course, Marita is also a mom of three.
Thank you, Yolandi. It's always an honor and always lots of fun to know that we make a difference and we can help parents out there to really take the stress out of all these questions they might have. So thank you for having me today.
Yeah, it's only a pleasure, like I said, because I kind of feel I know. But it's also like that with all topics when it comes to parenting. Obviously, I am in the parenting space and I work with a lot of different professionals. I also help a lot of parents to sleep. So, of course, I have an above average amount of knowledge about these type of things, which doesn't necessarily make me any better or more calm when, you know, crap hits the fan.
Yes, exactly. It doesn't matter how prepared you were, or even with experience of having three kids. I think just keeping on top of new studies, new research, it just continues to help us at the end of the day. And that's what I always tell moms. They usually come to us and then it's like, but my grandmother did this and this and this and this. And it's great. It did work in that era and that time. And I mean, it's just like you said now as well, studies usually recommend, well, in the olden times or years ago, they actually told us, don't give your baby any allergies, avoid it because your baby is going to have a reaction, and leave it after 1 year of age. And old concepts, actually, they recommended no dairy before 1 year old. So that means babies, like eating yogurt today, they won't be able to use yogurt. And then no egg for 2 years and no nuts or fish for 3 years. So 3 years of your life not having any of that, you can imagine your body's response.
How many things have nuts or nut residue in it? That would be a I always exactly. Someone actually has an allergy, I'm always a little bit like, how do you manage that?
No, exactly. But you know what? There's amazing studies. The LEAP study is one of the studies that I really love. It's especially based on peanuts. And they went and saw that in some countries, they actually give babies a peanut snack. And the babies in those countries don't have allergies up until 50% less allergies than in the Western countries where people avoid that. So they did start this LEAP study quite a few years ago, and now they've concluded that, and they actually went into adolescence with those children and realized that it's not just about the introduction of those allergens, it's about keeping up the exposure up until 5 years of age to, at the end, if it's just to eliminate the risk of developing allergies. Remember, nothing is 100% preventable. You can tell people, listen here, you use olive oil in all your cooking and you'll have a healthy heart. It's obviously ways of trying and limiting the risk of developing heart disease. But at the end of the day, this introduction to allergens forms a vital part of introduction to solids. So I do want to encourage moms, the old news of avoidance, please let it out the door. Let your baby start having allergens. Recommendation from 6 months until 12 months. That's your perfect window of opportunity to introduce those allergens. And then obviously, we can talk about what the amount of allergens is there. Out there. There's a lot of babies that's allergic to watermelon or apple. That's not even an allergen on the common allergen list. So we'll have to get into that detail as well.
Word. I didn't even know. Like watermelon? Isn't watermelon like literally like 80% water?
I hear you. It's completely. I'm baffled by it as well. Because the thing is with allergic reaction, it's usually towards the protein in the product. And that protein usually triggers a response, an immune response in your body that makes histamines. So when moms actually give their baby an antihistamine, it's to fight those little ones that see this protein as something harmful. So they are not, they're still baffled by what the massive impact of allergic reactions actually are, because we don't understand why our bodies actually respond towards these proteins in this way.
I mean, it is also, I mean, just like you said, also now the studies have changed so much with regards to what is available. And I mean, it's wonderful. In the end, I mean, I also have those parents with lots of things who often tell me, oh, my grandparents did this, my mom is telling me this. In the end of the day, yeah, your mom also allowed you to stand on the back of a bucky, and we know better now. And that's the thing, is that we shouldn't. I'm not saying that how they did things and how they parented, but in the end of the day, when you know better, you can do better.
I think with any facet of basically any parenting stuff, there's a reason why specific things are researched to actually better our life and quality of life. And then obviously, like you said, the massive amount of allergies there is out there. Why not try to prevent it?
And I also think, like, I mean, if I just think of myself, like growing up, and I'm 40, so I didn't grow up in the Stone Ages or in a time of war or anything. But if I just think about myself, also the types of food I was exposed to when I was small was also very limited. And these days, a lot more, I feel you are exposed to different things that you weren't exposed to before. And so, you know, like just a pizza, for instance, I think the first time I ate a pizza, I was like in high school already. It's embarrassing to say, but I mean, I also lived in a very small town. I also maybe have to mention that. So pizza wasn't readily available.
But all that has an impact at the end of the day. It's all about your environment where you grow up and how your parents made their food. All of that has an influence at the end of the day. And especially when it comes to allergies, there is definitely a genetic factor that can play a role.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talk about this just more.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Yes, you are on 101.9 Chai FM, and this is me, Yolande Becker, your host of Bump and Beyond. And as always, we're talking parenting, and today talking about allergies. And it's actually quite common, I found, allergies. And I mean, I do also have to say that I feel I see it quite a lot more. As always, I do want you to be part of the show. And if you have questions or comments, I would love for you to send it to me on WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. And of course, if you are on the app, you can directly access the app or the WhatsApp number through the app. So if you haven't downloaded it yet, you should go and download the Chai FM app so that you can listen to us and also all the podcasts that we have available for Bump and Beyond on the website. My guest today is Marita Besaidenhout. She's the founder of Tummies Full of Love, as well as her new range, Allergy, to help parents with this difficult introduction to solids, because it can be scary. Hi, Marita. We've been speaking about how common it can be. What are the main kind of allergens, though? I mean, I was surprised just now when you said that people can be like allergic to watermelon, to be honest. I would have laughed at someone. Sorry for those who are allergic to watermelon. It just doesn't make sense in my head.
Yeah, no, I hear you. So they do classify it as a few common allergens. So usually we have our common nine. And if I have to give those nine, peanuts are quite high on the list. So it's peanuts, tree nuts, and yes, there's a difference between peanuts and tree nuts. So peanuts are actually part of the legume family, and then tree nuts actually grows on trees. So although if you're allergic to one, you might not be to the other, but it is likely that you might be allergic to both of them. And then eggs, cow's milk, wheat, soya, fish, and then shellfish. That's also two separate kind of allergens. They have separate proteins that you can actually react to. And then citrus foods, and then in South Africa especially, sulfates that we get, especially on dried fruits and some of our fruit juices, because it's a preservatives in dried fruits. So we do get a lot of people that's got a reaction towards it. It's not a massively allergic reaction, for example, but they do react. And in South Africa, we do classify it under the allergens. Mm. So I think the biggest thing comes in with parents avoiding allergens, having that picture in mind of a baby choking, not having to get their breath. And that's the misconception there is, because most babies do not have an anaphylactic reaction when they actually start. And I think that is what should be part of settling your stress. It is, it's not necessarily that your baby is going to have a massive reaction with the first try. If they do, they will swell, and the eyes usually swell, the mouth will swell. But if you do go to hospital soon enough, your baby will be fine. They'll give them medication and stuff. I think it's only 1% of babies that do get an anaphylactic reaction.
Oh, okay. And I remember also from a previous discussion with the doctor. I can't even remember who it was. It's embarrassing that I can't remember that. But I remember also specifically them saying that often babies don't necessarily react to the first introduction of allergens. It's only on the second introduction where the reaction could happen. So you might be reassured when you're introducing an allergen to think, okay, my child didn't show any reaction. And then the next time you introduce it, they do have a reaction. So that's also part of it, that you kind of have to...
Because obviously now when you give the food at first, your body is experiencing it for the first time. So that your body has not actually had time to make that little antibodies to see it as a foreign object. So they make that antibodies. And then when you eat it again, it's like your body goes into alarm and say, whoa, 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 I can't have this. I don't know what to do with this. And that's usually what causes the allergic reaction.
Yeah. But I mean, in the end of the day, now you said that, I mean, the chances of your baby like dying, and I'm sure that's a fear that parents have about allergies. Is it a lot that babies have a like reaction? And is there ways that we can kind of avoid it?
So avoiding it, you won't you won't avoid a reaction because you won't know what, you don't know what anybody's body is going to respond to at the end of the day. So it's important to, especially with the with allergen introduction, it's to start with little amounts, not to give too much and it's too much of a protein exposure, for example. But if a baby reacts, usually it shows us on the skin, so they get rashes, or they if it's more severe, they'll start swelling, like their eyes will swell, the lips will swell, especially in the face. Usually it's the first place you'll actually see that. So at the end of the day, once again, it's not, you're not able to avoid an allergic reaction because you're not going to know what your baby is going to respond to. What is important to remember is if your baby has risk factors, for example, mom or dad has got family allergies, so any family allergies, if your baby has got eczema, usually eczema is a big sign that there's an immune response going on in the body. So rather consult with a pediatrician or somebody that you trust in the medical field to assist and guide you on should you start allergens, because it's very important to know that as well. And then also if your baby has got asthma or your child's got a lot of asthma, then consult with a medical professional to rather check and give the correct guidelines to actually give allergens to ensure that the reaction is not severe then in that case.
I mean, for me now, also this testing of allergies and stuff like that, because I, again, like you said, if your child or if you or your partner have a history of allergies, your child, the chances are a lot more or higher. And it's also interesting on that note as well, something random that I know, and it's like apparently stuck in my head, is the fact that sometimes even if you as an adult have, like, so for instance, a peanut allergy, it might not start as a peanut allergy for your child. It might be a different kind of allergic reaction that your child has to something else. And that's also was an interesting thing. So again, like I said, I don't even know where I learned this. It's just stuck in my head. I'm glad that it's right.
And the interesting thing is if one parent has an allergy, there's a 30 to 50% chance that the baby will inherit it. But if both parents have it, it actually, the risk jumps to 60 to 80%. It is about the risks involved at the end of the day, because I know there was a big debate even with, and they're still busy with those studies, there's not a 100% conclusion on that, is even sometimes they recommend moms to not introduce allergens into their diet while they're pregnant and breastfeeding. And they're busy researching that as well. So the grounds for that is not 100% founded currently. There is they do recommend that a mom does not have to exclude any allergens into her diet if she's breastfeeding. It can expose the baby to that allergens while they are on breast milk, because it actually protects them at the end of the day, because they get exposure so much earlier than the babies that's on formula. But like I said, the research for that is not concluded yet, so they are still busy with the research on that.
If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And today we're talking allergies with Marita Besaidenhout. Again, if you want to be part of the conversation, please do send me a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. I would love to hear from you. If you have questions for Marita about allergies, or if you want to share your own experience with allergies or allergic reactions, I mean, it can be quite scary, I think. For me, it's also always interesting. Like some people are like, and that's what you also said with babies as well. It's very unusual for them to have that anaphylactic like reaction with it. But I mean, I know I've heard of people who are so, I mean, my daughter has a little girl in her class. It's like, she just smells peanuts and she has like a reaction. And I mean, I can just imagine that that's scary for a parent if that is the case. But then other people are like not as bad with their allergies. And that's also, it's interesting.
I think at the end of the day, it comes back to the education around that. I mean, if you know that you do have an allergy, obviously you're super aware of everything that goes on around you then. And even your child knows, like, listen, I can't just have a breakfast bar because I do have peanut allergies. You know that there's contamination. And it's amazing how children actually can handle that education as well and know what they can't and can do. At the end of the day, it's about having the backup in plan. So most children in that severe case, they'll have an EpiPen wherever they go. And you need to replace that, obviously, on a on a yearly basis, I think you need to replace that pen. But I mean, there is people, I take my mother-in-law, for example, she is so allergic to fish, she can't even be in the house while you cook fish. She already has a skin reaction as soon as it goes into the air. So you do get people that have a severe, severe allergy. So, and that is why, and I think it is because allergens were avoided in the first part of life due to old studies. And that's why we need to educate our parents and just give them the knowledge to know that don't be scared of it. This is actually an opportunity to better your child's life. It's not an opportunity or it's not a hurdle you have to cross and think, oh, it's the end of the world. You can do it just like you introduce your butternuts and all of that. I mean, just like we said, watermelon, for example. You can do apple. It's not even on the allergen list. And then all of a sudden your baby has a reaction. No. So you never know what a reaction will be like if your baby reacts. But, just educate yourself around that.
Yeah, but what is then like, what is the best? I mean, obviously, how would you then introduce solids to a baby? And what is there a specific time? I assume in the morning is a better time to try it. But what is then kind of guidelines that they should be following?
So with allergen introduction, it's always important to do your non-allergic products like your butternut, your sweet potato, the ones that we really do not suspect of having any allergens in them. We usually start with that for 2 to 3 weeks just to get a baseline of your baby starting solids. And from there, now with this new allergy range, you're going to add like a small amount of the allergen that you get in a little sachet to your baby's purees. And then you introduce that to your baby. Obviously, like you said, you look for the reaction in your child. If they have a reaction with the first one, then you're not going to serve it a second time. If your baby does not have a reaction, you'll have to now go further with the process, and then you'll do it in the second day again, and then see if there's a reaction. If there's no reaction, you can actually increase the amount of the allergen then to a little bit more. But yes, I totally agree with you. It's very important to either do it at breakfast and then or lunch, and don't do it at school, obviously. Don't send it to school and leave the teacher hanging there. Please do it at home over a weekend when you're busy with your child and you can give the medical help.
I would have to say, rather don't do it over a weekend.
But when are you going to do it then? Yolandi, it looks like you're trying to avoid this. Do not avoid it. You're going to do it over a weekend so you can see if there's any reactions, and you as a mom can be first in line to help your child if there should be one.
What do you do if they do have an allergic reaction?
It depends on how severe it is. So if it's only like a skin rash, or you see lots of redness or swelling, especially in the face, wherever it happens, then you stop giving that allergenic food. And then you monitor your child. If you see it gets worse, and usually babies that is quite allergic, it will get worse in minutes. It will go from 2 minutes to 7 minutes. You'll see the neck, the everywhere in the body, it will have a reaction. Then you need to go to a doctor or the ER to go and get medication for that. If there is some moms where I do actually recommend them, have an antihistamine close. So when you actually start allergens, you can just have it in your medicine cabinet. You have it and don't use it, rather than not have it and you need it. So at the end of the day, you can do that. And then, if your baby does not have a reaction, you just continue with the food. And then 2 days later, you do the next food. What is important for parents to remember is if your baby does not have a reaction, it's not just about introduction. And it's like, okay, I did this week. I marked it off and I'm happy now. And we do not have to worry about it. We have to continue then with exposure to allergens. So then after, if you have used the allergen box, the allergy box, then you can move over to actually solid foods like your yogurt and then do a scrambled egg. So this is to guide and to help moms just to get it started and give you the knowledge and the education and the info booklet to just guide you through the process so you don't feel overwhelmed and avoid the process overall.
No, I mean, I think that's it. With generally with introduction to solids, it is very helpful. I mean, for me, like Tummy's Full of Love, I remember very specifically, I was very determined to like make my own food for my baby. And then it just becomes like such work because you make like, even if you make a little bit of butternut, like you make a cup of butternut, it is 7 containers just of butternut. The child doesn't eat a crap load. So it's like really, it's just, yeah. Then in the end, your kid has like an orange nose from all the carrot and butternut they're eating because that's the only thing you can make. So actually introducing different things, I think this is fantastic. And especially with the allergy range that you have added now, because in the end, it makes your life so, I always say, life is not meant to be done alone. And if we have these things that can help us just to guide us and give us a little bit reassurance with this, why not do it? And I mean, this is a first, isn't it? I don't think there's any other product range out this allergy thing.
No, this is the first in South Africa. So I must say we're very proud to actually launch this product and really make a difference in parents' lives. And then we have a lot of plans for the rest of the year and the future. So this is only the start, but the goal is absolutely to give parents that confidence of introducing solids and introducing allergens, all the phases you go through when it comes to protein introduction, your texture introduction. Every single phase is important for the long run and at the end of the day, creating that healthy eating habits forever.
Yeah. And I mean, it is, I mean, for me, this is now a nice one. I remember also when I actually had a deviated septum for I got it fixed about 5 years ago. And I remember as part of the checkup with the ENT, they did an allergy test with me as well to make sure that my, because they didn't realize I had a deviated septum at first. They just thought I had some sinus issues or whatever. So they did some allergy testing as well to see. And I mean, I remember that they did it like on my arm. They made these little scratches and of the different allergens to now see. And I just sit there for like, I can't even remember, but it was, it felt like 5 hours. It probably wasn't, but it was probably like, I think it was 10 minutes or 15 minutes or 20 minutes, but it was quite a bit of time. And I was actually sitting there thinking, how do you do that with a baby? How do you just, I mean, the thing is, I know you can do it on their back that I've seen, but actually having to sit there with your baby and wait for a reaction to action. Happen,
and
you can't do anything properly. You just have to wait there. I thought, how?
You know what? I think it's daunting. But at the end of the day, there is some parents that self-diagnose their babies with allergies. And that's actually worse. I have to say it like that. Because the thing is, what you do is you take stuff out of your food out of your baby's diet because you think your baby has an allergic reaction towards it, depriving them of certain nutrients. And then later on, it's like, oh, no, it wasn't that. It was actually something completely different. Or it was lactose intolerance because obviously there's intolerance and then there's allergies, which are two different things.
Just now, because that was my next question. But we'll talk about that just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Yes, and just like that, again, we're running out of steam today. It's always nice how quickly the conversation just goes, and it's been very nice. We've been talking allergies with Marita Beside and I, specifically how to introduce allergens to your baby in a safe way, what to do if your baby reacts to allergens. If you've missed us, don't worry. It's available as a podcast on hifm.com for you to go listen to. All of our shows are available there, and it's quite a big variety of different topics that we've covered. So I feel like it's really great. And if you have any like suggestions on future topics, please do let us know. But Marita, before you go, and you've already mentioned it before we went to the ad break, is a big topic, I feel, about, first of all, cow's milk protein allergy, and then as well, lactose intolerance. And I think this is one of those things really that is very like self-diagnosed by moms. Yeah. They just kind of like saying my kid has, they've heard their friend's baby has it, so their baby has some kind of stomach issue or lots of gas or whatever. and their child seems, and then they're like, no, my kid has lactose intolerance, or like, what is the difference between lactose intolerance? Is it the same thing, lactose intolerance and cow's milk allergy?
So when you look at cow's milk specifically, so you get the protein allergy that you just mentioned, and usually people refer to it as CMPA, so cow's milk protein allergy, and then you get lactose allergy. Intolerance. Lactose is the milk sugar. It is not a protein. Mm. So an allergy involves the body's immune system and response. So then you see an allergic reaction at the end of the day, and that can be quite serious. Mm. We have spoken about all the reactions and stuff like that. And intolerance is a reaction that does not involve the immune system. So if you have a food intolerance, you may experience unpleasant symptoms after eating a specific food. So
like flagellants.
Yes, and usually it's gut upsets, specifically nausea, diarrhea, vomiting. It won't have a dangerous reaction. So it is important to go to a pediatrician or allergenist and really do a proper allergy test, like you mentioned now as well, that you went through. Rather do that than excluding stuff out of your baby's diet, and then at the end of the day, it's never been the issue, because you deprive them of certain nutrients. So food allergies affect about 8% of children under the age of 5 and up to 4% of adults. And most children actually outgrow their allergies when they get older. And it's not necessarily that you didn't have an allergy as a child that you're not going to have it as an adult, because it can be one day where you actually eat fish or eggs and all of a sudden you have a reaction. And that's what they can't determine, why all of a sudden that reaction actually happens. But intolerance and allergies are two different things. Please, if you're unsure about it, go to a medical professional that can guide you in making the correct decisions around that.
Marita, it has been fantastic to have you here today. Thank you so much for sharing all your insights and everything. It's been really great. Please let us know where people can go get the allergy range and where they can order from that if they want to actually start this.
So Allergy has got a website. So you just spell it aller with just the G without the Y, and then .co.za. And then we have social media pages on Instagram and Facebook, where we also have our retailers that will be selling most of our products, and we're launching in some of the RNL pharmacies soon. So keep an eye open for that as well. But visit our website. Even on the Tummy's Full of Love website, you can get it with a month back. So feel free to contact us, even if you have questions as well and you're unsure to start with what, please let us know.
Great. Thank you so much for joining me, Marita. Have a wonderful day. Bye.
Thank you, Yolandi. Appreciate it. You too.